Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, I'm first of all going to read something that the Lord impressed upon me should be written. It's been written because the enemy is not going to be able to twist what has been said. When it is written, nobody can twist it. And this will be put up on the internet. It will be made available to people in the church that don't have internet access, because the whole church needs to understand what this Leviathan spirit has been seeking to do. So what I've written is self-explanatory. Most of us have listened to the tape about the Leviathan spirit. This is something much more detailed. It is incorporated some of the teaching from that, but this is something I've been doing in my own study of the word, and as I explain. The important thing is to understand that when the tactics of the enemy are exposed, he is defeated.
Amen.
And that's the purpose of this. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spirit that wants to influence people. It's called defeating the Leviathan spirit. The enemy is opposed to the work of God, and it is not surprising that we should experience attack from him at both a personal and corporate level. We have nothing to fear because Jesus has defeated all the powers of darkness by his blood. He has given us his victory and is our mighty warrior. However, we need to be wise and vigilant so that we do not allow the enemy to take advantage without realizing what is happening. He is a deceiver and likes to appear as an angel of light. This means he can work in ways that are not immediately obvious. He is both cunning and devious, so it is important to know our enemy. In recent months, Kingdom Faith has been under spiritual attack, and we can praise God that by his mercy, the enemy has not been able to have his way. It is as well that the situation was first addressed publicly last October, because the corporate response at that time has prevented the spirit sent against us to have much influence. I also spoke in January of the way that another major church was ruined by this same spirit that was sent against us, and I was determined that this would not be allowed to happen here. Subsequently, we have discovered that a number of strategic churches in different parts of the world have come under similar attack from the same spirit. One of those churches in America is pastored by Dr. Ron Phillips, who has produced a teaching on this spirit that we have found most beneficial, although it only came to our notice recently. He confirms much that we have discovered about this spirit, principally from Scripture, but also from our own experience and from talking with other international leaders. I have incorporated this material in the explanation that follows. Leviathan. In Scripture, this spirit is called Leviathan, which means twister, for reasons that will become obvious. The nature of this spirit is described in Isaiah 27:1 and more extensively in Job 41. The Lord uses an animal to describe the activities of this spirit, probably the Nile crocodile that steals up on its prey, snatches it, takes it into the water, and literally twists the life out of it until it can then be consumed. In Isaiah, it is referred to as the twisted serpent. Having consumed its prey, it then flees. This demonstrates the vile nature of this spirit. In Job 41:34, it is described as king over all the children of pride. And it is pride that gives this spirit access into people's lives. Its influence is spread through those who are guilty of pride and self-righteousness. Like the crocodile, this is a hidden spirit that can be lurking in the life of a church, ready to strike when given the opportunity. When it is exposed for what it is, it loses its power and hold over people as soon as they repent from coming under its influence. So there is nothing to fear from Leviathan, because our faith is in the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ has already won over all the powers of evil, the victory that is ours through his blood. However, there is a big difference between those who inadvertently come under the influence of this spirit and those who are carriers of this spirit because of their continued pride and their refusal to repent. Some serve Leviathan whether they realize it or not. Others are merely unwilling victims. The description in Job 41 shows that this is a formidable opponent that cannot be captured and kept as a pet. The normal person would not want anything to do with such a spirit. Although hidden, it can be very powerful in its effect on people, families, marriages, churches, and even nations, bringing division for reasons that at the time may seem mystifying. There is no apparent reason for such division. An enemy has done this. Apart from being king of the proud, Job 41 mentions other characteristics of this spirit. 1. You cannot play around with this spirit. It would be dangerous to attempt to do so. It cannot be tamed and has therefore to be renounced completely. 2. You cannot enter into covenant with this spirit. Verse 4. It encourages people to break covenant by encouraging those under its influence to leave churches. It can destroy marriages and break up friendships. 3. Leviathan twists the truth. It misrepresents what has been said, causing people to sometimes believe the very opposite of what was said. Those under its influence hear things in a twisted way and then pass on this twisted version, often believing it to be the truth. So this is definitely a spirit of deception. It is this twisting of the truth that makes it a difficult spirit to deal with. 4. You cannot reason with this spirit because it blinds people to the truth. In fact, those under its influence can be so deceived that they do not appreciate that they are deceived or are twisting the truth. 5. This spirit can only be overcome through the supernatural activity of God's spirit, not by any human means. 6. Quotes, his breath kindles coals, meaning that their words have a destructive negative effect. Those under its power become very critical, especially of those in authority. They become judgmental, and their words have the effect of pulling down rather than building up. 7. This spirit produces a hardness of heart in people, verse 24, making it even more difficult to bring those being used by this spirit to the repentance they need. 8. Because of its pride, and because it has access into people's lives through their proud hearts, this spirit wants to be in control. So those under its influence want to control situations in which they are placed. They resist submission to true spiritual authority. 9. This is a mocking spirit and uses mockery as one way of attacking others. It will mock those who walk in obedience to the Lord or who disagree with them, so important to them are their own opinions. 10. Not only do people become hard-hearted under its influence, they become thick-skinned in the wrong sense. The truth bounces off them. Because of its deceptive nature, those under its influence can mistake its voice to be from God. Typical phrases that are used by those under its influence are, "The Lord said to me, and I felt in my spirit." But when you check out what is said, it does not tie in with either the scriptures or the way in which the Holy Spirit leads people. Remember that its intention is to encourage people to break covenant and to bring division into the church. It opposes covenant and wants people to excuse themselves from contracts and other commitments. Typically, this spirit brings false allegations against people, especially those in leadership. Often outrageous things are said that are a complete distortion or twisting of the truth. We are warned in Scripture not to bite or devour one another, or we will be consumed by one another. The honoring of one another is essential to prevent this spirit from gaining any foothold in the church. Leviathan defeated. Those who have inadvertently been used by this spirit need to repent and ask the Lord's forgiveness. Those who have been carriers of this spirit will need to be broken of their pride that has given the enemy opportunity to bring so much disruption into their own lives and the lives of others that they have influenced. The longer this is left, the more difficult it becomes to take the necessary spiritual steps to be rid of its influence. There has to be a humbling and a breaking of proud, self-righteous, independent attitudes. Where there is such repentance, there is nothing to fear from Leviathan, for the Lord is then able to restore people. During their time under Leviathan's influence, they have not been able to prosper spiritually, but once forgiven and restored, they can again flow with the Holy Spirit, the right spirit. A true sense of direction and purpose is then restored to their lives, instead of the disruption they previously experienced in their personal lives, their families, and other relationships. After Leviathan. After the Lord has described this spirit to Job, he was humbled before the Lord. "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted." His response was to say to the Lord, "I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." After he had prayed for his friends, Job was then restored by the Lord, who made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before he had come under attack from the enemy. Life after deliverance from Leviathan is much better than it was before. We are told to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Precisely what God promises concerning Leviathan. So it is important to repent before God and to put yourself right in relationships that have suffered while under the influence of this Leviathan spirit. In Isaiah 27, after the Lord has promised to deal personally with Leviathan, he tells his people, "Sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night, so that no one may harm it," verses 2 and 3. So your security is in this vine. Do not allow this spirit to isolate you by drawing you out of this place of the Lord's security and therefore making you vulnerable to his twisting tactics. Although some at Kingdom Faith have shown a lack of understanding of these spiritual realities, most have been wise in guarding themselves against this deceiving spirit. Many have had dreams, visions, and words from God that have described accurately what has been taking place, although they have known nothing of the circumstances. Several have been warned not to break covenant and make themselves and their families vulnerable to this twisting spirit. Some have been confused by conflicting things they have heard, the truth on the one hand and the twisting of the truth that is the result of Leviathan's influence. Leviathan has tried to influence many without success. They have had thoughts that they should leave Kingdom Faith, although they have not wanted to do this, nor do they have any good reason for doing so. Some have heard false rumors spread about the church and the leadership. But as a church, by the grace of God, we emerge triumphant, for he always leads us in his triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. Some have received prophetic promises that a cleansing and purging of the church has been taking place, and that this is a prelude to the times of much greater blessing and fruitfulness that lie ahead of us. The promises of harvest and abundance shall be realized, and this attack from the enemy cannot prevent this. As Job said to the Lord, "No plans of yours can be thwarted." You may have experienced coming to the brink of a major breakthrough with God, only to sense that something has stood in the way of the breakthrough. That something is now being dealt with, and you can be free to enter fully into the Lord's destiny for you personally and for Kingdom Faith corporately. Of course, we shall remain vigilant in prayer, and we praise our mighty warrior God that he has gone before us to give us the victory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So that sort of sums it up, really. And then at the end, we'll go through this again today. There's just a prayer of confession, of confessing the truth that people can make over their lives. Lord, I ask you to remove from my life any influence from the spirit of Leviathan. I reject this spirit completely and wholeheartedly. Forgive me for any ways that I have served this spirit, either intentionally or inadvertently. Forgive me for any ways in which I have twisted or have twisted the truth, that I have listened to distortion of the truth or have distorted the truth myself. I devote myself to bringing unity, not division, into the church, and will therefore honor other members and those who you have placed in authority. By your grace, I will speak the truth in love and dedicate myself to expressing the truth of your word in my life, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We'll use that at the end. It's a bit longer than the one that you listened to on the CD. Now, let's turn to these scriptures. First, in Job 42. It's interesting, you see, that after all the counsel that Job has received from these so-called friends of his, in chapter 40, the Lord answers. And he says in chapter 40, verse 2, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him." And Job answers, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." And then the Lord speaks again to Job and asks him a whole lot of questions. And the latter part of that monologue, really, from God to Job, is this chapter about the Leviathan spirit. It's as if God is saying to him, you can disregard what all those so-called counselors were saying, because if you really want the truth, you have to come directly to me. And the truth is, this is the spirit that has been twisting your life and coming against you and causing so much disruption and destruction. And in the light of this, revelation comes to Job, because he's been mystified as to why he has gone through all the things that he's gone through. And the advice of his friends who have counseled him just hasn't registered at all. But then God speaks, and suddenly everything becomes light for him. And he realizes that no plan of God can be thwarted. He says in verse 3, "You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know.'" So Job is really humbling himself before God. And that's what we are told to do. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And he says, "You said, 'Listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. My eyes had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes.'" When the scales, as it were taken from Job's eyes, he could suddenly see, he saw the truth. And this is what happens with this Leviathan thing. Because the truth has been twisted, because people have been deceived, they have failed to be able to see and understand the truth. And it's God, you see, who breaks in. This is why God says that this is not the kind of spirit that a man can tame. But God is so much greater than any other spirit that as he intervenes, as he comes as the mighty warrior and does battle for us, so this spirit is put to flight. And then it says in verse 10, "After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house." All his friendships, all his relationships are restored. He comforted and consoled them over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him. And each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. Suddenly, now that this spirit is defeated in his life, now that he's known the intervention of God because of his repentance and humbling himself before the Lord, he is prospering, he is finding favor, the grace of God is upon him, his relationships are restored, and everybody's blessing him. What a transformation to what he was experiencing while he was under the influence of that twisting spirit. So it says in verse 12, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. So if you like, as we look at Job, we see the personal blessing that comes into people's lives when they are liberated from the effect of this twisting spirit, or indeed from any other spirit that the enemy has sent against them. But now if we turn to Isaiah 27, here we see the corporate blessing. What happens corporately when Leviathan is defeated? And we read from verse 1, in that day the Lord will punish with his sword, his fierce, great, and powerful sword, Leviathan the gliding serpent, Leviathan the coiling serpent. He will slay the monster of the sea. I love that, don't you? I mean, you just sense God coming with the breath of his mouth, the two-edged sword that is in his mouth. And he's just slaying Leviathan, and he's just putting this spirit to flight. Hallelujah. It's not by accident that God appeared as the mighty warrior to us back in September. And he said, as you come against the enemy, so I will then go before you and give you the victory, and I will open up the way for you. So praise God, that is what we have seen happening. But then, you see, we have the part that I quoted in what was written. In that day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. We are going to sing this morning about this vineyard. We are going to sing about this being the fruitful vineyard. We all know the promises that God has given us. We all know that nothing can hinder or prevent the promises of God from being fulfilled. And I believe that it's true that in recent months, in recent times, there have been occasions when we know we have been on the brink of something great. We have had moves of God here at conferences, at Faith Camp last year, when it seems that you come to the edge of a major breakthrough in God, and yet somehow it hasn't quite happened. Somehow, you see, this Leviathan spirit, seeing what was about to happen, has risen up to attack, to try to prevent. All he succeeded in doing is delaying things while he is dealt with, and while a purging and a cleansing of the body takes place, because nothing outside a man defiles a man, but only that which is within his heart. So all kinds of negative things have been exposed in people's hearts that God has then dealt with. It's been a purging, it's been a cleansing, it's been a preparation by God for the great things that lie ahead. It's been a pruning of the vine in order that the branches may be more fruitful still. So the enemy is actually going to get a great big sock in the teeth. He is going to be utterly defeated by this, because all that he has been able to do is to be an instrument in God's hand in preparing the body for the great things that he is about to do. Hallelujah. So then we read, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. You see, this is where God is saying, okay, you have contended against these things. Now, I am taking things into my hands. I am going to deal with that spirit. I'm going to deal with the way it has influenced anybody and everybody. And I then am going to bless this vine. It's going to be a fruitful vine. I personally am going to watch over it. I am going to water it continually. I'm going to guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. And that's precisely what this spirit has wanted to do. It has wanted to harm the church. There have been people actually saying Kingdom Faith is finished. Kingdom Faith has hardly started. We are just emerging into the great promises of God and into the fulfillment of the destiny that he has given us. This is the beginning of a glorious new day. All that is ended is a futile attack from the enemy to prevent what he cannot prevent. Because God himself is contending for us. God himself is battling for us. God himself is going to cause this vine to be fruitful. God himself is watching over it. God himself is watering it. God himself is guarding it so no one may harm it. Hallelujah. And then the Lord says, if only there were briars and thorns confronting me, I would march against them in battle. I would set them all on fire. I mean, you see, as God looks at this vine, he sees, okay, what has the enemy tried to do? He's tried to sow a few briars. He's tried to sow a few weeds and all kinds of false and twisting of the truth things that have been said. But he said, if I see any of that, this is my vine, and I'm going to come against it, and I'm going to do battle against all those briars. I'm going to do battle against all those thorns. I'm going to rip them up, because I am watching over this vine myself. Hallelujah. And then he says, or else, and this is a word to any that have really been victims, I mean, they've been used by this spirit. Or else let them come to me for refuge. And this is a word for all that have heard this, why don't you leave Kingdom Faith? Has this spirit attacked me? You could be quite sure. If I've been coming against it, like I have in prayer for the last 15 months or more, what's he been saying to me? Why don't you retire? Why don't you? It's time you retire. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of all this battling and fighting? Why don't you retire? Well, I serve notice now. I'm not retiring. I will never retire. I will never retire till my dying day. I will be in the service of the kingdom. And no demon is going to tell me to retire. So let them come to me for refuge. Remember that when that mighty warrior sort of took me up and held me to his chest, he said, I am your refuge. And the refuge, the word in Hebrew means stronghold. Yes. You are in my stronghold. Yes. And the whole of Kingdom Faith is in his stronghold. Yes. So let those that have been taken out come back. Yes. Let them repent, let them humble themselves, let them come back into the security of the Lord's protection because they've made themselves vulnerable. Let them make peace with me. Yes, let them make peace with me. In the days to come, Jacob, that's another way of describing Israel, will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. Listen to me. God spoke to me last Monday during the 8 o'clock here. And he said to me, on Sunday, you are to speak about Israel. And, you know, normally I don't expect to get 6 days' notice of what I'm going to. Usually it's 6 minutes notice if I'm really blessed. Often it's 6 seconds notice. But to have 6 days notice, most unusual. And then we get this CD about this twisting spirit and we all listen to this. And you see, there's part of me that says, Lord, I just see that you are moving your church on, that this thing has not been able to prevail, that we are seeing the victory. You know, let's just forget this. But then I realized, no, wait a minute. What God is revealing to us needs to be revealed to everybody so that there can't be any lingering, lurking, hidden things still going on. That just as when we listened to the tape, people were responding here, about things that they realized inadvertently had been taking place in their lives. So that is likely to be the case. But, and
So I said, Lord, what are we to do about this twisting spirit? And he said, speak about Israel. So I think, you see, the Lord gave me warning. He said, now don't speak about the twisting spirit on Sunday. Speak about Israel. And then when I was reading this yesterday, as I was preparing to write this, all the lights came on and the bells started ringing. Yes, the good bells started ringing. Yes, yes, yes. What a wise God you are. Why? Because people have got to have a revelation of Israel to understand the way in which God is going to bless us and the way he is going to fulfill his call to us to be a blessing to Israel and to be inheritors of the promises given to Abraham, that we would be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. And here you see it. In days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. And you know, the Lord said to me, that message that you preached on Sunday is going to go all over the world. People are going to come to a fresh understanding of Israel and what I'm going to do through my people Israel. And you know, he also said, you will find that people that have been deceived concerning Israel are going to have that deception dealt with. People in Kingdom Faith, so that this cleansing of the body is taking place, ready for all that God is about to do and unfold and reveal and release amongst us. Hallelujah. God knows exactly what he's doing. What a wise God. He's got it all planned out. And I read that verse and I said, dear Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace just to keep us obedient, you know, and doing things your way. And then I realized, though, it would have been futile anyway to speak about this on Sunday because things would have got twisted by some people. So the Lord says, write it down, because people can't twist what you've written. Hallelujah. I love God because he's a God of wisdom. But you see, our fight isn't against flesh and blood. We want to see everybody and anybody that has been under the influence of this spirit completely set free, completely restored to God, restored to relationships within Kingdom Faith. There aren't many of them, but even one is one too many.
Right.
Because why should the enemy have a victory in anybody's life?
Amen.
So we pray that as this goes out and it's bound to get around, if it's on the net, I pray that any who have been under the influence of this thing, that God will intervene. That a spirit of revelation will be upon this. So that as people realize it, they won't push it away. They won't try to justify themselves and their actions and what they have done. But this will be the breaking point where they will humble themselves. Because you see, as I was doing all this, God was showing me again and again, the key is the fact that this Leviathan is king over the children of pride. That where people humble themselves before God and before others, and humbling yourself before others is an essential part of that repentance. That as you humble yourself before God and before others, then this demon of pride cannot have his way with you. Praise God. So we can rejoice. This, you know, the enemy always wants to sow fear. And these visions that some people have had and some of the false things that have been circulating have been the enemy's attempt to cause people to be afraid. And therefore to, you know, the enemy would suggest, well, it would be better for you to move out of Kingdom Faith, which is the very opposite of the truth, because that's what would make people vulnerable. If you've ever seen the lion, you know, the roaring lion prowling around seeking someone to devour, how does a lion attack its prey? It comes up against a herd of animals, and it waits for one to lag behind or to get isolated. Or a pride of lions, you know, a number of lions, they will come around one, and they will isolate one animal and then attack. And the devil's like that. He wants to isolate people so he can attack them and destroy them. Our security is always in being together, in being in the body, in being in covenant with one another and keeping that covenant. But also, you see, the promises of God are for the vineyard. And it distresses me that some people that have been part of the promises that God has made to Kingdom Faith, even though there's only a very small number, that some of them are likely to lose that inheritance unless they do repent. I mean, the inheritance of what God has promised Kingdom Faith, because they won't get the same promises anywhere else.
That's right.
And if this is where God has called them to be, this is where God wants them to be. And who knows, God does not change his mind. He is not a man that would change his mind. And so it's not for people to try to get God to accommodate to what they want because a twisting of the truth has taken place. But it's for us all to come to what God, to accommodate ourselves to what God is saying and to his word and to his purposes. So as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure as far as you're concerned, there's absolutely no sense of judgment or condemnation on anyone because whatever has happened to anybody has been a twisting of the truth, which is deception. And when people are deceived, they think they're right, but they're not. So, you know, it's not a question of feeling negative towards anybody, but saying, dear God, we want to see everybody restored.
Amen.
But you see, what God has also been showing us in the leadership in these recent months is that he wants this harvest. He wants the explosion that is going to take place. But he is also very mindful of what he is bringing people into. And so there's been a purging and a cleansing of the body before that harvest so that they're not coming into confusion. They're not coming into division. They're not coming in where this spirit is lying hidden, lurking, ready to pounce. But he is out completely and has absolutely no influence over anybody's life connected with Kingdom Faith. That people are going to come into a body that is prepared and cleansed. Hallelujah. So, again, we bow before the wisdom of God. He knows exactly what he's doing. His plans cannot be thwarted. We need to pray for those who at this moment have been taken out by the Spirit. And we need to pray for their families. Because, you know, whatever decisions are made by parents affect the whole family. And the devil is no respecter of persons, let me tell you. He will attack children. He will cause disruption in the lives of children. He will bring division into families. He will bring tension into families if he's allowed to do that. And in love for all these brethren, we're going to do battle for them this morning.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
If at present some of them don't understand what is going on in their lives and why they feel like they do, we are going to pray for them. And we are going to ask the God of intervention to intervene in their circumstances and in their lives. Because, you see, in the last analysis, as we heard on that CD and as is clear in Scripture and as I've been saying to you, we cannot deal with this spirit in other people. That's what makes this spirit more difficult to deal with than most. The people that are under the influence of this spirit have to recognize that and have to repent, and God has to personally, therefore, deal with them, intervene, and set them free. Let me tell you, we in the eldership have done everything we can for months to try to reason, to help, to see these people set free from the influence of this twisting spirit. And it is beyond what this scripture, these scriptures are saying. It is beyond the ability of man. This is what Job 41 is all about. But it's not beyond the ability of God. And so this is where we're going to do battle on behalf of these brethren. And in our love for them, we're really going to ask God to somehow intervene. Because I've seen, not only just in recent times, but in years past, I've seen what this spirit can do. I was... God just showed me... I was talking about this with someone yesterday. You know, where pride is concerned, there has to be a breaking of the pride before there can be freedom. Now, that breaking can happen in two ways. Look at this glass. I could have this held in my hand, and I could exert more and more and more pressure. So this glass is getting squeezed. If I had enough strength, and I'm not going to see if I have or not, but I could cause it first to crack and then to break. But that would be a long and protracted process. On the other hand, I could just drop it and smash it. And you see, when the enemy gets hold of people, not just with this, but with any spirit, either there can be a long, protracted process where the pressure spiritually gets more and more, worse and worse, and you see people suffering under the impact of what is happening as this thing tries to squeeze the life out of them. And this stubborn refusal to be broken. So people justify themselves. They do all kinds of things, say all kinds of things, even accuse those that are walking in the truth of being in deception and they themselves in the truth. They turn everything upside down, you know. Right. And that's the twisting of the truth, you see. And they're fighting for their very life. And what they don't understand is they're only prolonging the agony for themselves, for their families, for their relationships, sometimes for their businesses. Sometimes it can even affect other people in churches, wherever they happen to be. Because when there's pressure on your life like that, you are not free. And you are not the person you are normally, the person that God has called you to be. How much better, even though it's painful, very painful. Nobody likes to admit, I was wrong. I've been deceived. Nobody likes to have to humble themselves, not only before God, but before those whom they have hurt and offended, spoken against. Nobody likes to do that. But if that's the cost of being set free, it's a cost worth paying. If that's a cost that is going to restore them and their families to the blessing and prosperity of God, then it's worth doing. If that means that somehow they get the message from God, just drop the glass. Just smash the glass. Just let it be broken. Don't hold on for dear life. Don't try to justify yourself. Then the whole thing is over. It's actually over in minutes. This is the crazy thing about a situation like this. I mean, I can stand here and know of circumstances in people's lives that could be over before lunchtime today, or it could take months. And it's just a matter of whether people repent. Not easy, but we've all been there. Not necessarily over issues like this, but I'm sure every person in this room at some time in their Christian experience has been in this position of having to say, I've been wrong, of having to humble yourself before others. Every one of us has known times when God has had to break us of our pride. Only trouble is we then put pride back in the place if we're not careful. How much better to do a smashing job? Let me finish with this. Those of you who read my first book, When the Spirit Comes, about what happened in Luton, will know that right at the beginning, there is an illustration of a coffee pot. The very first meeting that I had there where, you know, God told me, just get a group of people together and begin to teach them the word and show them what I want to do in their lives. And I had never done anything like this before. This is the very, very, very beginning of this move of God. And I remember at that first meeting, I was sort of searching, how can I make it clear what God really wants to do in people's lives? And I suddenly had the idea, I need a pot. And I just said to people, because they were in my lounge of my home, and I just said to them, just excuse me a minute. And I went running into the kitchen, and the first thing I grabbed was this coffee pot. It was a sort of tall china coffee pot with a lid. And I just said to them, now this pot represents your life. And what God wants to do is he wants to come pouring into your life with his life, with the life of his Spirit. And I said to them, have you ever tried to fill a pot with the lid on? You know, you're filling a teapot, a coffee pot, you've forgotten to take the lid off. All you get is a mess. Everything pours over the outside, but nothing pours onto the inside. You just get a little drop through the hole that is in the top of a china. If you've ever seen a china lid, there's usually a little hole for steam to escape. So you might get a little drop through the hole, but that's all you'll ever get. What's got to happen is the lid has got to come off. And I said the lid represents the self-life. We would say the flesh, but I was using words I could understand. This is the self-life. And I said, it's made up of various layers. It's made up of unbelief, of fear, and of sin. Now, I said the problem for many people is that what they do, if you imagine this hand is the pot and this is the lid. The lid is on the pot. What many people do is they open the lid, let God come in and shut the lid again. And say, I've received. God has blessed me. I have the Spirit. But I said, that's not the purpose of God. Because what he says is that rivers are to be flowing out of us. Not just a little bit in the spout. Because if you shut the lid like that and you start to use what God has supplied, then you're running out of what God has poured in. I said, what God wants to do is to take that lid off and for it to stay off. The only way to do that is to smash it. And you know, one of the reasons why revival hit that church is this is the way that everybody was led to the Lord. And right at the beginning of their Christian experience, they smashed the lid. I kid you not. They smashed the lid. And what that meant was that they were open for God to continually pour in his blessings and his Spirit and his power. And that self-life couldn't get in the way of what he was wanting to do. So they sort of marched on with God in faithful and loving obedience. They didn't just flap open the lid. They saw that lid, that self-life, has to be smashed.
Right.
It's got to be broken. And I was so thankful to God because, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I'd never led a group like this before. And it was all just the Holy Spirit. But my goodness, what I saw happening with that first group of people and the complete transformation that came about in their lives and the obedience that followed from that. Of course, it was because of what God had poured in. It's not by might or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. But that smashing of the lid was such an essential part of that. And you see, God doesn't want any of us to be lid flappers. So it's not just a question of saying, oh Lord, just let brokenness come into the lives of these people, you know, anybody who's been deceived by the Leviathan spirit. Here is a word for all of us. Because, you know, some of you, you could actually have experienced a time of brokenness at some time in your life. And what you've been doing recently is bending down, picking up the pieces and trying to glue them together again. People are foolish enough to do that kind of thing. Fortunately, it can never be what it was before. But why put back in place what God has once smashed? So it's always that we have to look to ourselves first. All the way through these last months, while we in the eldership have had to be dealing with this spirit and people coming under the influence of this spirit, all the way along, and the others would testify to this, we have had to get before God ourselves and make sure that we are right with God, that we're submitted to God, that we are walking in obedience ourselves, because how can we bring correction into other people's lives unless we're in the right place with God ourselves? So in that sense, it's been very, very good for us because it's kept us walking on the narrow path in loving obedience to the Lord. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to rejoice in the victory. But we're going to pray first. You know, let's get before God ourselves and be sure that that lid has not been put back on. There's been no lid flapping here. And if you sense that lid has never really been broken, then ask God, just tell God, Lord, today I make the decision that lid is going to be smashed. I'm not going to have anything in my life standing in the way of the continual flowing in of your Holy Spirit of truth, because I need to walk in the truth, not deception. I need to be open to your Spirit, not any other spirit. Amen. And then we're going to pray for these other brethren. We're going to pray for the whole church, that as this word gets circulated, so everybody will apply it in the right way for them personally. Amen. They won't take on board things that are not true for them and so on, but they will all respond in the right way from their hearts, and we'll just see a glorious release and liberty taking place in more and more people's lives. And then we'll pray for those who really have come out seriously under the influence of this Spirit. For that breaking of pride and that restoration to the Lord and to us. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. First of all, just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that He's made your body a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that no other spirit has any right of access into your life. At any level whatsoever. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord that He has rid you of all influence of this Leviathan, of this twisting spirit. That as in recent days you've stood against that, God has set you free and liberated you from any influence inadvertently that that has had in your life. Because you've listened to wrong things or have said wrong things or have, you know, just sort of gone along with what things have been said just so that you don't feel at odds with people when you sensed in your spirit that what they're saying isn't right. So, Lord, we just thank you for the cleansing power of your blood. We thank you for freeing us from Leviathan and from every other spirit that is opposed to your purposes. Praise God. Let's just say this affirmation together. It won't hurt us to go through it again. Lord, I ask you to remove from my life any influence from the spirit of Leviathan. I reject this spirit completely and wholeheartedly. Forgive me for any ways that I have served this spirit. Either intentionally or inadvertently. Forgive me for any ways in which I have been twisted. Or that I have twisted the truth. That I have listened to distortion of the truth. Or have myself distorted the truth. I devote myself to bringing unity, not division. Into the church, and will therefore honor other members and those you have placed in authority. By your grace, I will speak the truth in love and dedicate myself to expressing the truth of your word in my life. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's just deal with this brokenness in our own lives, shall we? Before we pray for anyone else. See, this has always got to be the way. You look at the speck in your own eye, not the beam in anybody, sorry, the beam in your own eye, not the speck in someone else's eye. So let's just be clear. Lord, we don't want to be the children of pride. We are children of God. We are your children. We are children of light, the sons of light. Lord, if there's been any stubbornness in our hearts,
So Leviathan has a heart of stone. If there's been any hardness of our hearts, if we have been thick-skinned in the wrong way so that the truth bounces off of us, instead of really being taken into our hearts and lives to do its work, then please, now, forgive us. And Lord, we want to see a brokenness, for that lid to be smashed, so it cannot be put back into place. That even if we try to put the pieces together, it is in such small pieces we could never do it. In fact, Lord, we want it not only to be smashed, we want it to be ground into dust. So that nothing in our hearts and lives will ever, from this moment, stand in the way of your best purposes for us. We're not asking, Lord, for a temporary thing. We're asking you to work this brokenness in our hearts and lives, that rivers of living water will flow into us, so that rivers of living water will flow out of us, that there'll be a constant overflowing of your Spirit of truth in our lives. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. We bless you, Jesus. We bless your wonderful name. Praise you, Lord. Thank you that you haven't called us to judge anyone or to condemn anyone, but we have a care and a concern for those who have come under the influence of this spirit that has been sent against us. And we want to see every one of them completely liberated and set free. We want to see peace and harmony restored to families where there are children, Lord. We know of children in distress at this moment. And we want, Lord, that peace that you speak of in your word, that peace to come not only into the lives of the individuals, but into the life of those families. And with that peace, Lord, for there to come healing where healing is needed. A transformation of life. And we just give you all the glory, Lord. We pray for the parents in those families. Lord, I just pray that this is not going to be a long, protracted time of being squeezed and squeezed and squeezed, that there won't be resistance and any attempt at self-justification, but Lord, that they will smash the glass, that they will smash the lid, that this brokenness will come into their lives speedily and rapidly, that they will be restored to you, restored to fellowship with us, restored to their rightful place in the body of Christ, restored to the promises that go with the destiny that you have given us in Kingdom Faith, that they will not be robbed of their part in that destiny. And we give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. And Lord, where marriages are under pressure because of this Spirit, we pray for a complete liberation in those marriages. Complete unity, Lord, so that both husbands and wives will resume their place in your body here in the way that you want. Lord, we know this is not about holding on to people and not wanting people to leave a church or anything. We are concerned, Lord, for their spiritual welfare. We are concerned that they are completely set free. We are concerned that they are not robbed of that destiny to which you have called them. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. And Lord, we thank you for the promises of your word, where you say that you will go before them, that you will deal with them. And we know, Lord, that you are the God of mercy, that you don't want to deal with them in judgment. You want to deal with people in mercy. And we thank you, Lord, for your compassion. We thank you for the way in which you will intervene. We thank you, Lord, with all our hearts. Come on, let's really pray now in the Spirit. Om parazatari elero bakara sitri satuba. Brustakari esituri saratori elero bakara sitri sanduma. Brustakara zatapari esituri sandu bakara sitri satuba. Brustakari esituri sandu bakara sitri satu bakara sitaba. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we pray that as this message gets downloaded by so many people, and as this paper that's been written is going to be up on the internet, we pray now for you to use this to speak into the lives of others in other places, in other churches, where this spirit has been lurking, ready to strike. We pray, Lord, for an opening of people's eyes to spiritual reality. We ask, Lord, for an understanding of these spiritual things. I just sense that you're saying so many have been trying to deal with issues in their lives and in their churches by natural means because they haven't understood the spiritual dynamics that are actually operating. So, Lord, I pray that you will use this in some way just to open people's eyes. And they will see, well, if Kingdom Faith can come under attack, any church can come under attack. And I realize now what has been happening in my life, what has been happening in my church. It's not the leadership. It's not the other people. It's not a question of blame. It's the enemy that has done this. And we need to have our eyes open and come against the enemy. Lord, I pray for that revelation. And I pray that the enemy is going to be defeated in one church after another, in one place after another. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pora tapara zata bakara situri satuba. Bopara zatari elero bakara situri sanduma. Brostakaria zituri saratu bakara zituri sandama. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's rejoice in the Lord. Puparazata, come on, we're gonna praise him victoriously this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.